Isn't this a sports show?
When the guy that you... When you traded Jimmy Butler, and then the guy you used to... The pick that you used... I know. I'm not trained for this.
Almost entirely.
Oh, boy.
This is Almost Entirely Sports without Joshua Briscoe.
What game is this? Is this the sadness game? Because I'm there.
On 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, and the ESPN Kansas City Facebook page.
United Arab... What is that?
What was that word?
United. Wow.
Keep up with the show on Twitter at JB Briscoe.
NFC South. I mean, that's okay. And I'm coughing.
Beards, take five. Would you take? Just get out of here.
On ESPN Kansas City.
Welcome into a very special edition of Almost Entirely Sports here on ESPN Kansas City. I say a very special edition because I'm not here. Now this is the moment that I'm sure you are just racked by confusion. I am Joshua Briscoe, but I'm not in studio right now. I'm currently at a wedding, which means you're hearing some taped audio, which means you're getting the first ever best of Almost Entirely Sports. Some of the best things that we've done in the last few months are brought together here for 2 hours of me not having to be here live and in person. We really are going to give you a tremendous number of highlights and tremendous high peaks in this show's history today. And we're going to start off with one of the most fun segments that Beards and I have ever collaborated on. It truly is a collaboration in the truest of terms. This segment was from the day or 2 days after the return of the XFL was announced, and we ended up creating a behemoth. Our conversation here starts off by a suggestion for how the XFL could improve on Twitter, and then Beards and I take it to a completely new level. Enjoy.
Oh, boy.
This is from @4verts on Twitter. Here's the new XFL. Players with arrests are encouraged. For every arrest you get a handcuffs helmet decal. You get a 5-second window after every play to legally attack the other team. And there will be a drug week. Each team plays a game under the influence. Commissioner choice on drugs.
Also, all the helmets need to have horns.
Yes!
Yes!
That's perfect.
Helmets. Oh my god, he's been gored through the chest!
Helmets have...
What a sport!
Helmets have horns. Also, there's also bullfighting going on throughout the game. If you get killed by a bull, you also lose.
Well, that's just assumed.
Well, I mean, it's a fit, but officially, this is in the rule book. There's some Valhalla stuff going on.
One player on each team, for 5 possessions, they can get a giant Morningstar mace, which is the one
that's pretty good.
The chain.
That's pretty good. I think they're going to go the other way and have some sort of, like they just get like a syringe full of adrenaline directly into their heart, so they're basically I'm trying to get to NFL Street 2 levels.
See, that's what
IRL
happens
here.
When somebody like gets clubbed over the head and they're just kind of laying there, and the doctor team comes out and just goes, boom, shot to the heart, and then he pops back up and tries to kill somebody.
And see, okay, I'm not against this. I want to keep workshopping here. I want again my dream scenario is that we basically get to NFL Street 2. But in real life, where you're playing with, like, lessened gravity, and everyone's wearing chains, because my custom teams, everybody was out there rocking a piece, you know?
What's that coming out of the end zone? Oh, my God! Johnny Manziel's got the monster truck!
but over here...
Oh, he's steamrolling everybody!
Oh, God! Greg Hardy's riding a Rancor!
He's gone all the way!
Oh, no! The landmine!
There was a game years ago. It was like an NES or something. I don't remember. It was called Bill Laimbeer's Combat Basketball.
What?
Yeah,
that's basically how I am imagining this right now.
I like that. I will be watching some gameplay of that in the commercial break. But I like the idea though. So again, NFL Street 2 logic.
Super Nintendo.
If you're doing style point, if you throw a pass off of a chain link fence or whatever, if you climb up a chain link fence and then throw a pass and complete it, or you like do like a between the legs pass of some sort, you pick up style points.
Uh-huh.
And then whenever you get to the end of your style points part, you get a game breaker, which means adrenaline into the heart, or you do a line of cocaine. Tech check for the cocaine reference again.
Day 4.
And then you are performing at a level beyond normal human capacity. So then you're just your normal kind of run-of-the-mill mutant Ninja Turtle, Luke Kuechly in 10 years, is out there roaming around just trying to tackle... what's another good... I need a good backup quarterback. Ben Roethlisberger with his cyborg legs that aren't allowed in the NFL but are encouraged in the XFL... Ben Roethlisberger with his cyborg legs on cocaine as a Luke Kuechly in rocket boots is chasing him around. I feel like that's the future that we need in football.
Do you want me to read the description of Bill Laimbeer's combat basketball real quick?
Yes, please.
The game takes place in the year 2030. Bill Laimbeer has become commissioner of the basketball league, fired the referees, and created a style of play without rules. There are no fouls, and use of weapons is perfectly legal. That's basically what the XFL needs to be.
Yeah, I'm watching some gameplay.
Oh, no,
this
actually,
really needs a remake.
The refs have tasers. Or cattle prods. Cattle prods.
Perfect. Absolutely perfect. The ref's only purpose is to stop the unsanctioned murders.
Also, they're driving around in Pope Mobiles.
The referees are?
Yes.
How big is the field?
However big it needs to be.
Okay. I do like the idea. Also, I think you could really decrease some of the CTE issues by increasing the size of the field overall. So, the refs are in Pope Mobiles, and you just have, like,
they
15
have spikes
players
on, the front
on each
as well.
Team. That's good. Some Ben Hur kind of stuff. Yeah. You've got chariots with the big spikes
on
the
Mad
sides.
Mad Max style. That's what we need. Mad
yeah,
Max.
No, I this sounds very Mad Max. This is...
I don't see any copyright infringement at all.
Oh, no, I mean, you don't have to... You, instead of spraying whatever silver spray paint on your mouth, you just do, like, shiny pink spray paint.
Oh, perfectly legal. Okay.
Yeah. Like, is this not a more interesting football league than the extremely clean NFL?
Gosh. Like, that's weenies over there.
I mean, and also, like, Pablo Torre tweeted this, obviously, like, reaching for, you know, a very specific joke that is usually aimed at people of my ilk. But he tweeted that the XFL is going to be a safe space. Because Vince McMahon emphasized that the XFL will, quote, have nothing to do with politics. The fans, quote, want good football. That's fine, I guess. But you're not, this is not the rebellious league that you once wanted it to be. This is just the SEC, but worse.
So here's a question that we have to have about the new XFL.
Okay.
Are the losers of each match... So is this an elimination sport where the losers of each match are like they're just decapitated right there on the field?
Our version or the Vince McMahon
whichever one. So then the champion is just the only team left.
It's pretty good.
And then next season they have all new people come in.
So in the Vince McMahon version, actually everyone gets a ribbon because we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings.
Okay,
that's
right.
The Vince McMahon XFL that we're rebooting here.
Okay. Participation trophies are
participation trophies everywhere.
Beginning of the game.
Ooh, that's super good.
Yeah.
Everybody gets all the trophies before the game.
The MVP. The fans.
The MVP is everyone except for Colin Kaepernick. Now, in our league, what are we calling our league?
The XXFL.
It's the XXXFL. And everyone's,
nope,
everyone's naked the whole
something's,
time.
That's something different. Well, I specified two.
Do not.
X's.
Let's go four. Let's do four X's then.
Okay, that works.
I think the XXFL is probably copyrighted. The XXXXFL is probably good.
You remember in like cartoons or whatever, where they've got the little bottle of alcohol?
Yes, I was just about to say that.
Two X's on it.
Oh no, I think that you just had three.
No, because that's something different.
I know that's something different. Hold on. Cartoon bottle of alcohol. I think this is going to be three. Yeah, I'm seeing three here on this one. Ooh, this, you know what? This might have an actual reason. This is a Reddit today I learned. Today I learned that the bottles of alcohol in cartoons marked with XXX isn't just meaningless. XXX was used to be an indicator of the strength of a beer by a brewery.
Huh.
1X was weakest and 3X the strongest.
That makes sense.
Huh.
I learned something today.
Okay, this is... correction here. So I thought it was one time the liquor is distilled once, 2X is the liquor is distilled twice, etc. Someone else said that's the case. Also, let's do that again. Huh.
Huh.
Although it sounds like also that by distilling it more times, the alcohol becomes stronger. So maybe both of those are right.
Huh!
Man, though, the comment section here is just an absolute bleep show of you're wrong, I'm wrong, you're wrong.
Isn't that what the internet was built for?
That's true.
Yeah.
I'm just not used to seeing, this is like a 3-year-old Reddit link, and so I'm usually used to seeing someone who's actually like a scientist out of nowhere giving the correction. In this case, it's just, I'm right, you're wrong, I'm wrong. Says it takes more time and effort / money each time you distill alcohol. The excess tells the distiller how many times each jug has been run through the still. So we're going to have the XXXXXXXXXXXXFL.
Sure.
10 X's. And yeah, at the end of it, it's just immediately... Immediately a tournament. We can try to, we'll have like a seeding committee that tries to, you know, do 1 through 8 or whatever, but we're pretty much taking shots in the dark.
Or is it an 8-team free for all?
What do you go on?
Every team is on the field at the same time.
Oh, we have to have like a Chinese checkers board.
Eight
basically.
Balls.
Oh my goodness. So the field is basically, I've never played Chinese checkers, I just know, and also I don't know if that's racist to call it Chinese checkers.
No, I think that's what
is
I've,
it actually, okay.
I think that's what I've always heard it called.
Let's see.
Now we gotta check.
Safe space!
It's Chinese, okay, you search Chinese checkers, it's the one that's got like the, it's like the
yeah, it's
star.
The octagon board with.
Not an octagon, it has 6 triangles.
Oh, is it just 6?
Yeah.
Okay. Hexagon.
Okay, is China? Yeah, you type is Chinese checkers. Is Chinese checkers racist? Oh no.
Do we need to backtrack?
Well, it just seems like this is gonna. Yeah, I mean, it just seems like it's not actually from China, probably, and it's just like, ooh, it's Chinese. It's mystical. Appears to be. Chinese checkers sure is a funny name for a board game that comes from Germany and has nothing to do with checkers. Damn. Most sources can agree that it first appeared as a game called Hoppity, which was popular in Great Britain in the latter part of the 19th century. Huh.
Huh. from Wikipedia, this game was introduced to Chinese-speaking regions mostly by the Japanese.
Weird. This is, it wasn't Chinese yet. It would be until the American toy company Pressman Company, obsessed with the quote Oriental mystique, and more than a bit racist, released a version of Stern Helma under the game Hop Ching Checkers.
Yeah, I saw that name too.
Oh no,
there's a picture on Wikipedia as well.
Yeah,
boys playing quote Hop Ching Checkers in Montreal, 1942. But anyway, XFL.
I've always wondered why it was called even checkers, though. Like, it's just because, like...
I know, it's really
like,
weird.
Hey, these Americans know checkers. Let's give them this one. Although, even in Chinese, it says the game is known as Chinese checkers, despite having no actual ties to the country. So, I don't think it's offensive to call it Chinese checkers, but it's also...
It's very gray.
And it's also like calling Native Americans Indians. Like, it also... That stuck, too. But we were wrong. We had that one wrong, though.
But anyway, do you like my idea of basically just making
idea.
The XFL like this?
Okay, so...
Free for all.
So we're going to go...
Six teams.
Yeah, because that's the board here.
Everybody's got a ball. Well, no, 8 teams, because there's going to be 8 teams. That's the way we have to do it.
Okay, fine. So we'll do 8 teams, and there are 16 in... No, it can't be 16 end zones. We need to diagram this. I need a whiteboard.
Wouldn't it just be 8 end zones?
Or would it be...
8 teams, 8 end zones.
So it's 4 intersecting... Sorry, I'm opening an app on my computer so I can draw this on an illustrated thing. Oh, I don't know my Adobe ID right now, computer. Ugh, I'll do this later. So it'd be four intersecting full fields, right?
Yeah.
You're going to have to extend those, though.
That's okay.
A field is too wide, so it's going to have to be... They're going to have to be like 150 yards or more narrow, which actually kind of makes sense.
I don't have a problem with that. How else is the monster truck going to get on the field?
So you've got four over, basically two X's, but, you know, at an angle.
Yeah.
I just want to draw. I got a pen. Hold on.
Do you need me to bring you paper?
I have a. Oh, hold on. I can read some paper. Hold on.
Okay. So yeah, basically.
I hope this paper's not important.
Yeah, just two X's, four teams, or eight teams. I'm sorry.
This is a story about an umpire. Yeah, this is not
okay.
Not needed. Okay. So go ahead and do this at home. So we're gonna have
two X's.
Oh, I already betrayed my own design. Okay, yeah, you're right. That was easier. So it's a one big old X that can have four teams, and then basically a plus sign.
Or just yeah.
So we're basically having kind of an asterisk situation.
Yeah.
Although the asterisk on my keyboard only has five, like, pegs or whatever.
So, obviously, two teams are playing each other while, you know, three other games are going on.
What's their motivation, though, Beard?
So here's what it'll do. It'll be just, you know, four games of XFL going on at the same time on the same field. But when you get to that middle space where all the fields kind of intersect, you can interfere with other teams.
Are you going to want to, though, right away at least? We can't have these teams be killed because we have to build rivalries. So we can't decapitate the losing team.
End of the season. Okay.
I think this is a one game season. I think this is basically like the Olympics.
Okay.
Or maybe every 6 months. Every 6 months is XXXXFL day. It's a national holiday.
I like it.
Oh, hold on. Can we call it like, I don't know what the symbol is. But can we call it, like, asterisk FL? So even the branding potential here is huge, Beards. Because we can have the asterisk in place of the N or the X or the A. So it's asterisk FL. I don't know how we're going to call that, though. We'll call it real football.
Okay.
Yeah, so we just had every 6 months, because there's going to be some injuries. And that's fine. Those are all legal. Also, if you get hurt, you just have to lay on the floor until the game's over.
So, hold on. So we're going to have four games going on. So we're going to have four winners. So then when you want to interfere with teams, you can do it to see who you want to play and who you don't want to play. So you interfere with the good team, so that then you have to play the bad team later.
Or is it... Okay, or... This is when you say or.
Or...
It's the first team to, like, 50, and then the whole thing shuts down. So that way, each team, even though they all have, you know, a responsibility to stop the team in front of them, they're also keeping an eye on the scoreboard.
Okay. I can go with that.
Because, the New England nuclear bombs are at 42. We can't let those damn New Englanders get that last touchdown and two-point conversion because there's no kicking.
Can't let them get to the cannon.
You cannot let them get to the 8-point cannon. Uh-oh, the Cleveland curmudgeons are in a monster truck. We gotta stop the monster truck. They have 40 points, and that's a 10-point score. They score with that monster truck.
Flying V!
Right. Or the games are a process of elimination. So whenever you give up a certain number of points, then
the end zone opens up and you get swallowed?
Yes, okay. Like in The Dark Knight Rises. Then that leg of the field falls out. Because we're playing this whole thing, by the way, suspended by 1,000 helicopters.
I love it.
This whole field is played up 1,000 feet above ground. And no one's going to die whenever they hit the ground here because they have to have the players come back.
There are lots of mattresses at the very bottom.
It's just a bunch of those like big foam blocks and stuff.
Oh yeah.
So it's horrifying to watch because you're watching men fall from 1,000 feet, but into a big squishy pool.
They'll be safe.
They'll be fine. We might need to get some engineers to help us with the work on this. What are you laughing at?
Renee has joined.
Cool.
She says the cheerleaders are literal strippers.
Obviously, yes.
The XFL basically tried that like 10 years ago. But no, I mean, we have... It's the XXXXXXFL. The halftime entertainment is not family-friendly.
I'm just imagining, like, basically just every fan base is Bills fans.
We are... I was going to say single-handedly as a show. We are speeding up the process of, first of all, having, like, the national sport from Idiocracy, which I'm assuming is a real thing.
Can you imagine how viral this sport will go?
Dude, it would be huge.
The clips of, like, the guy getting tackled off the field.
How into good would that be?
Down 1,000 feet.
That's basically like a cut scene from...
You know how, like, in basketball...
Left for Dead.
You know how the guy... How in basketball you'll have the guy that's just at the end of the bench that basically just comes in to foul the other
team? Yes.
That's what this guy's for. Yes. He's in there just to tackle somebody off.
Ricky, go tackle Johnny Manziel off of the flying platform. You got it, coach. Thum, 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 thum. Stabs him with the sword. Takes him off the side. Poof. Into the cloud pit, which is what we call it. The Monster Energy Cloud Pit. Actually, you know what? Bleep it. It's a moat of Monster Energy drink. Stop telling me I have to break, Beards. We're going to do a 40-minute segment on this. We're going to do a four... I'm not breaking until my clock here says 5:40. We are going to do an uninterrupted 40 minutes of the... Hold on. XXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXX
like those full floor trampolines.
Yes. So we're forgetting something.
Okay.
Slam ball element. We need giant trampolines.
Hell yeah.
All right. Okay. Have you seen the Hunger Games, the original Hunger Games at least?
Yes.
Actually, this might have been in Hunger Games 2, where you know how the island is basically a clock.
Oh, that's the second one, yeah.
And so at noon, there are like, you know, crazy evil monkeys. And at 1, on that section of the island, it's a flood. And at 2, it's the Tracker Jackers or whatever. We've got, like, 8 halves of football fields here.
At 4 o'clock, release the Kraken.
No, well, not even. Not even. This isn't even timed. These are all in different conditions. And then you have, so we were really going to have the asterisk FL. We got to come up with a quicker way of saying that.
XXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXFL isn't good enough?
No, that's a big mouthful.
That's true.
And the asterisk FL is a really good logo, but I don't know how to verbalize it. We could call it the bleep FL.
Like, I thought that too.
Not because it's actually some curse, some terrible, terrible curse word, but because that's what it looks like. So the bleep FL, they have a week, basically. It's a week every 6 months. And each of these halves of football fields have a different element to them.
Okay.
So, like, oh, man, quadrant 1 is a blizzard. Quadrant 2 is in a jungle. Quadrant 3, the floor is lava. Quadrant 4, oh, no, this is where all those cheerleader strippers are. This is going to be distracting. Quadrant 5, it's on fire. Quadrant 6, just a normal football field. Quadrant 7.
It's a normal football field, but all of the numbers fall out from underneath.
Perfect. Quadrant 7, it's a political protest. Quadrant 8, everyone's invisible.
Wow.
And so, you have 1 day before this game is played. You have this crazy Oscar ceremony, basically.
Okay.
Celebrity hosts and everything. And they go and they say, all right,
Rob Riggle.
Rob Riggle is out there. He would do it for $15, man. He'll do anything for $12. Quadrant, Bob, I'm the commissioner. You can be the president of the Players Association. We're going to get along very poorly. Actually, you'd be the man on the other side, so you would be good. We'd have
a Players Association.
Your players would be very unhappy with you. No, we can call commissioner. This is fine. We need some money, though.
Oh, boy, do we need some money.
So, but you have this,
just
like,
the
giant
invisibility technology alone is going to set us back.
We'll work on the invisibility one. But so you have the day before Bleep FL. We're going to take a break in a second, Beard. Not until we're going to just ride this through. The day before the Bleep FL day, you have, all right,
You just have some whatever famous actress go out and say, okay, quadrant one is going to be, oh, it's covered in monkeys. There are monkeys everywhere. And then you set up the whole clock. And then you take like you go to the halftime show.
Okay.
You have all of these analysts and stuff go, man, the San Diego Satan spawn are really going to have to just pray to God that they don't end up in the monkey zone. This team does not have the agility to fend off 1,000 monkeys. You know what, Jim? I was actually just thinking that, man, if the Buffalo Bees end up in the quadrant that is literally packed full of bees, they are going to have a huge advantage in this game. Then you go back to the ceremony and go, defending quadrant one, the Kansas City guacamole chips. Oh! Jim, this is wild. This is the Kansas City guacamole chips were in no way capable of handling playing an entire game underwater. I'm not even sure where they're going to get that scuba gear, but they're going to need to get it stat. And this is like, this week would be wild. It's basically like, here's what it is. It's if the NFL draft happened and then the Super Bowl was played. Back-to-back days.
And there was a weigh-in at a boxing fight.
Yes! Conor McGregor is my quarterback. I mean, that's the best segment we've ever done, right?
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Oh, my God, we have to talk about this. When was the last time you were on Tinder?
Before I deleted it, like, probably
a month or two ago?
Yeah.
You were on Tinder while we were doing this show? We never talked about it?
Uh-huh.
Oh, come on! Why do you hate this show?
On 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, and the ESPN Kansas City Facebook page.
Welcome back to a best of Almost Entirely Sports. I'm out today, so you're getting some of the best things that we've ever done. And I think that this first hour is an absolute treat. We gave you our XFL creation, and now I give you what I would go ahead and present as the best conversation we've ever had with a guest on the show. We talked to Seth Kizer a while back, now of The Athletic. We were going to talk to him about something Chiefs-related. Instead, we talked about relationships and how he met his wife. Also, ladies, I hate to inform you, we discussed here, I think, that we're trying to work on Beards' Tinder account. Beards has since been snatched up. And so if you are listening to this, hoping to get a piece of Beards McFly, you'll be sorely disappointed. If you're here for any other reason, though, perhaps a great conversation and tremendous entertainment, then you're in the right place.
Oh, boy.
We've been in a weird place today, man. It's a type of slow news day that really allows for, well, let me just explain. The last hour of the show was me trying to help Beards create a better Tinder account. And so,
Tinder, is that, now remember, I'm old, is that like a dating app?
Yes, Tinder is like the quintessential dating app, where you get to see a few pictures and then a couple lines of a bio, and then you decide right then, do you swipe left and let this person go out of your life forever, or swipe right? And if you both swipe right, then you both match and you can communicate with each other, but if either of you swipe left, then you never hear from the other person again.
That sounds utterly horrifying.
Oh yeah, it's terrible.
That sounds so awful. Oh, because then, like, the people that you swipe right and, like, you don't connect, you know they swipe left. Right?
Or, I mean, there's the thought of, well, maybe they haven't seen me yet. That's what keeps you going.
Hope springs eternal. Well, you know, I actually have advice on this subject.
I was going to ask. Perfect.
As is well known to literally anyone that has ever looked at my Twitter account or, you know, talked to anyone who reads Arrowhead Pride.
Yep.
I married way out of my league,
right.
Like almost absurdly so to where occasionally it's offensive because people like ask me sincerely, like, how did that happen? And like, they mean it. They're not like being funny. They're like, so how did that happen? Like, were you rich a long time ago and then lost your fortune once you had a bunch of babies or, you know, stuff like that. So I clearly have a spot of knowledge in how to obtain a wife of wonderful standing and et cetera, et cetera. Now, he's not going to like this advice, though.
Okay, I can't wait. Lean in, Beards.
This is such an embarrassment. I can't believe I'm about to admit this on a live radio show. We were set up on a blind date.
Okay.
By my parents.
Amazing!
Who actually happened, my dad was her pastor.
so good.
And they actually came along on the first date with us. That was a
no.
I rode in the back seat. I was 22.
No.
This is a true story. I'm not making this up. My dad offers to give me her number of this gal, and my mom had already kind of greased the skid saying, she's like the prettiest girl I've ever met. So of course, I wanted her number. And I said to my dad, well, Dad, I've been handling my own love life for a while. I think I'll call her. And he goes, yeah, how's that been going for you? And I go, whoa, okay, fair enough. Because I'd been dating a series of increasingly unstable women up to that point. And so anyway, my advice is whether it's your folks or your pastor or your Sunday school teacher or, like, the governor, whatever, some authority figure, let them set you up and then go on the blind date with you. And then one day, 11 years later, 10 years later, 11 years later, anyway, some amount of time later, you'll be happily married with 5 kids. You're welcome.
I want to write a children's book.
Yeah.
Okay. First of all, the dismount there of you're welcome is perfect. Like, that whole thing needs to be put into a time capsule and saved for the rest of time. You shouldn't be doing a Chiefs podcast. You should be doing a relationship podcast.
I know. I should have all the podcasts.
You should have every podcast.
I have limited time.
You were 22 and you went on the date with your parents. That's incredible.
I didn't say that proudly.
No, I know. I just want to make sure, like, I got the details on that right.
Yes.
Second of all, what was her dowry? Was it like 2 cows, 3 cows? Did you give her some her famous some chickens?
Well, you know, there were a few goats as well. They're a more useful animal, Josh. Don't undersell my wife. That's kind of insulting, honestly.
Dang it!
That you think that we could have obtained her without some goats. And so, yes, it was horribly embarrassing. It was really tough. But, you know, I liked her, and so I managed to convince her to go on a second date with me. She said yes for God knows what reason.
She said yes, as long as your parents come, they're super cool.
Yeah, she's like, I kind of enjoyed spending time with them. Are you going to be there?
This is.
But no, we were married 4 months later.
Oh, my God. Wow, that's fast.
4 months later.
Wow.
We're married over 10 years now.
That's crazy.
No pressure on you.
Yeah, all right. So another follow-up question is, is host of a extremely mildly successful radio show, is that enough of an authority figure to send Beards on a blind date with whoever I or that person chooses?
I think it would be an insult to you if he didn't let you, honestly.
Oh!
I'm sorry, Beards.
You are absolutely gambling with someone else's money right now. But no, that's good.
I really am. I just, you know, I'm betting on black. It's fun.
I had another question, and it's gone. Like, there's so many moving pieces.
I feel really bad for the people that follow me on Twitter that, like, tuned in. Like, oh, man, I'm going to hear about the Chiefs.
No.
And they're like, what are they talking about?
I want to walk a line on this one. By the way, Mike commented the governor. This is basically just the governor. Also, another fair point is that does Seth know that we're in either Kansas or Missouri? Yeah, just for the record, you do not want to be set up with the governor of either Kansas nor Missouri.
I forgot about that. That's my bad.
Yeah, one of them is under federal investigation. The other one is extremely bad at math. So neither one of those is a super good call. That's a very good correction by Mike.
I'm just offering suggestions. I'm not saying they're good ones.
I am saying they're good ones. I'm saying they're infallible ones. Also, Charlie just walked in. Charlie's in the same boat here. Charlie, did you hear all the advice that Seth just gave? Okay, he didn't. I'm going to transcribe the podcast and I will bind it in a 3-ring binder and give it to you so you can keep up with every single thing that Seth just said, because it is wisdom from the mountaintop. It's like, what is it called? Who's at the top of a mountain? Who's like the, what's the name of the, like, the wise man at the mountaintop? What's the word of
God? I mean, what are we doing here?
No, you try to get to the mountaintop.
The monks?
Like the Zen Buddhist master guy.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Well, what I'm thinking it's not like.
Bill Jackson.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, man. If you didn't have Beards before, you have him now. So it's like Phil Jackson just gave that advice from the sewer. I don't feel like this is the mountaintop. I feel like this is the sewer. But Phil Jackson was here the whole time anyway.
Yes. Yeah. As long as it involves Phil Jackson, I think that's a pretty safe analogy to give.
Yeah, that's super good. Because, like, depending on what era we catch you in, it's either extremely successful or really embarrassing.
Which is how that blind date could have gone.
Yes,
honestly.
Of course.
That could have gone either way. But seriously, literally 4 months later, we were married. And now we have 5 kids and life is good, man. And so, honey, let your parents set you up. They know more than you do anyway. I mean, you guys are like all in your young 20s. Yeah. No offense to you, but you don't know anything.
No, you're totally right. You're totally right. The only problem for me with my parents setting me up on a blind date is I think my girlfriend would be really mad.
Right, I forgot about that.
That's,
will you apologize to her for me? That's
I will not. I will tell her that you tried to lead me astray. I will tell her that you came on this show and tried to set me up with another woman.
Good. So my DMs are going to be fun. I will find you.
Yes. Yeah, and she is terrifying, too. So that,
I believe it.
Yeah, no, I mean, also, like, she would have to be. You can't be a weak spirit and then be around me 5 or 6 days a week, which Beards proves, which is why Beards on Fridays is always just so deflated. I'm worried about him. We gotta find Beards a support system.
He's losing his spirit.
Yes. Yeah. It's being like it over the weekend. I can't figure out why. Over the weekend, it seems to kind of refill a little bit, and then he slowly deflates throughout the week, and I refuse to believe that's my fault.
It's a mystery, is what it is.
It is. Andy in the comments says that this is pure gold. It's been the best breakdown that he's ever heard from you.
Oh, wow. Well, you know, I like I said, I have wisdom on very, very, very few things, but how to marry up is one of them. I am the world's foremost expert on marrying up. So
marrying up and like how to gauge the success rate of a cornerback. Like,
yeah, and those are my things.
And that is... there are worse things to be really, really good at.
Oh, absolutely. I just have no, like, real skills, like, you know, building a house or, like, plumbing or carpentry of any sort. If the zombies come, I am doomed. Because, yeah, they're not going to care about me setting them up.
Listen, I don't know. Why did you... There was a movie a while ago called... I think it was called Warm Bodies or something. Beards has seen it, apparently. I think it's basically like a zombie love story. Beards is nodding at this. So maybe you have a better chance in the post-apocalyptic society than you think.
I feel a little better. I felt like that was my one blind spot. So I'm feeling better about myself now. Thank you for that.
Yeah, no, I think you're good. Nicholas just called you Yoda. He just wrote, Seth is Yoda. And that feels right.
No, good. I'm just happy for the plethora of marriages that are going to occur within the next 4 months in Kansas City. Thanks to them listening to this segment.
Yes.
And all these poor girls that are going to be marrying down. I feel kind of bad.
Oh, that's true. We got to think about that. Yeah, you're right. We got to prevent that. Okay, that's a good... Okay, lots of... Huh. Okay, yeah, that's great. I had not considered that point yet. If Beards is getting married within the next 4 months, you can write this down. I will pay to have you come officiate the wedding.
I actually literally can.
I know. This is easy.
It works out so well. I actually like to make friends of mine uncomfortable that are dating.
Uh-huh.
Like, hey, you guys getting serious? Because, yeah, I could marry you right now. Let's do this. Let's see what's... Come on, why not? Why are you looking at me? Why are you making the throat-cutting gesture? I don't understand. Why? Are you mad at me? You know,
what is this character that you're doing?
Yeah, I'm not a great person to be friends with. I'm pretty honest about that.
That's good. At least you're self-aware.
Yeah, I did, they say the first step is admitting, but I've been admitting it for quite some time with no change, so... You know, we'll see what happens.
Also, could you legally marry someone like 2 different ways? Like, you could probably marry someone in a courthouse and in a church. You could double marry someone.
I guess I could. If it's not enough that you're married in God's eyes, we'll marry you in president's eyes too. I don't know. Sure, why not?
Yeah, that's like, hey, so this is your new move. Hey, you guys getting serious? Because if so, I could double marry you. I could double marry you right now.
You would be twice. That's like a threat you could give to someone. I will double marry you right this second. You don't even know. You do not even know what to say again. So these are good tips you're giving me. I might go out into the streets of my little town here, and that's how I'll continue to increase church attendance.
Oh, it's perfect.
I'll find couples that look afraid to commit and threaten them into coming to my church.
I'm thinking about moving to Minnesota to come to your church because I feel like that's an extremely apt description of me and a threat that would absolutely work.
Yeah, see, there you go. I'm here to bring people together. And
legally.
I know right now, anyone who's listening to this right now is like, what kind of church is that? Like, people have to be so frightened. And I'm sorry.
I don't think you should be sorry. This is the thing, because you mentioned that, like, people in your timeline who click the link and everything are going to be super confused. And I think that, like, you're right, first of all, of course. But I you can't worry about the people that don't want to hear you, like, talk about your marriage. Like, if those are the people that rule your life, you've got to do something else.
That's true. Well, and the reality is, you know, the people that you end up surrounding yourself with are the people who are willing to listen to you talk about
right.
your marriage.
Exactly.
Because, honestly, I mean, most of my friends are married, for the most part. And, you know, when they start, like, fighting or when they want to talk about whatever, you know, usually it's like, oh, isn't that crazy? And you want to be like, no, that's boring. Like, I live that in my own life. I don't know why you're telling me about this.
Right.
You know, go be a better husband. This is easy. Okay, we're done. Can we talk about the Chiefs again? You know what I mean?
Yes.
And so I think that's pretty good advice on your part, that you want the people who are willing to listen to that. Plus, I bet I've told that story about me and my wife meeting a million times, because I don't know anyone else who has one like it, at least in America.
No. I mean, one correction. No one has a story like that in America in the last 150 years.
Yeah, I have a very old-timey. Well, I have had people give me a really hard time for the expressions I use on The Chief in the North. Like, because I said, like, something
that's
would
Seth's
be a
podcast.
Hook and a half, and people made fun of me for, like, 20 days. I don't...
Wait, a what and a half?
A hoot and a half. A like, oh, that'd be a hoot and a half. Like, a good thing. Oh, don't you start too, Josh. All right?
I didn't know what you said.
Have you never heard that expression?
I have. My grandpa loved it.
He used to tell it to your grandma all the time after their marriage was arranged by his parents. Yeah.
Right. Yep, their marriage was arranged by their parents. They were 35, and they got driven together in the back of a horse-drawn carriage. And after the date, my grandma said it was a hoot and a half.
That was so bad. I actually, because I'm pulling up in the back of my parents' car
to
pick her up. And I actually, I was kind of embarrassed. I mean, I dated quite a bit, and so this was just humiliating. And then she walked outside, and until now, I was kind of like, oh, I guess maybe I'll try to have this be winsome and funny.
Right.
And then I saw her, and I don't mind saying it live on radio. My wife is beautiful. Mm-hmm. I mean, she is so out of my league. And she walked outside, and I actually texted my good friend Josh, and I go, I don't have a shot with this girl. It was just, so then that actually set my mind at ease. So there's some real advice.
Ooh, that's good.
Act like you don't have a shot, and then you might actually be yourself enough for her to like you.
That's that right there. That is sage advice. It's like you just walk into a home you couldn't possibly afford, and then maybe... And then maybe by an act of God or drunkenness, the real estate agent will just give you the keys.
Yeah, that's a really great analogy.
Thank you.
Walk into a home you couldn't possibly afford and see what happens. Walk into the car dealership with nothing but Lambos. What's the worst that could happen? They say no. Well, you respected that.
Right, then you get back into the car with your parents driving and you go to a different dealership.
Yes, exactly. Oh, man. Oh, this is terrible stuff. What were we going to talk about today?
This is all I wanted to talk about. Oh, man. I was just, right as the dealership analogy was fading out, I was looking at the clock going, man, have we been talking long enough to just go ahead and call it? Can this just be this installment of having Seth on the show? Can we? And we totally could. This is a totally reasonable amount of time to end a radio conversation, and I'm really tempted to do it.
I won't be hurt if you do. I mean, you got to do, man.
Here's the thing, though.
I don't know. That is the most polite threat to hang up on me that I've ever heard.
No, because it's just like I kind of want to preserve what this conversation has been, and I feel like if I go, well, Seth, the Chiefs have 5 running backs now and a fullback. What do you know about the 2 Williamses, and then what do you think the Chiefs are going to do with their running back situation? I feel like I've kind of spoiled it.
The bitterness in your voice as you said those things made me sad for what I do for my job. You make
me
it
too.
Feel so pointless and futile. Oh, maybe. What do we think of the Williams? It just sounds so horrible. This is what I do, man. It's not that bad.
You want to come on tomorrow, Seth?
Yeah, I probably could, yeah.
Yes, okay, we'll figure that out. That's it. Okay. We're not... This is an unadult... Also, you know what? I'm putting this out on my Chiefs podcast feed that is just for all my Chiefs content, and it's going to say,
Seth Kizer talking, and then people are going to listen to this, and we are going to get tweets of both exasperation and absolute thrills, and it's going to be a really interesting dynamic.
I really, if I have one goal in life, it's to thrill, and if not thrill, then exasperate.
Yes!
So we're kind of hitting both out of the ballpark there. And hey, it's nice to show another side of my life. I don't want people to think all I do is watch film. Sometimes I get married way too quickly. So I do lots of things.
Perfect. All right. That's good. No, that's it. We're calling it. That's it. That's it. We're tapping
that's
out.
It.
We can't achieve beyond this.
Oh. We can't. It's tough. That's the problem with the top of the mountain. There's nowhere to go but down.
Thank you, Phil Jackson.
Yes, you're welcome. Thanks for having me, Josh.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
This is the full tweet from Clint. Congratulations on an even less coherent podcast than usual. I was enthralled by bad radio. Well played.
With Joshua Briscoe.
Put that on my gravestone. Are you kidding me?
On ESPN Kansas City.
Welcome back into today's best of Almost Entirely Sports. Best with an asterisk, I would say. That's how it's officially stylized. Almost has parentheses around it, and best of has an asterisk afterwards. We just have a little bit of time at the end of this hour because I tried to produce this all in a way that won't make Beard send me angry texts as I get ready for a wedding that I'm going to tonight, which is why I'm not here live today. So this is a short one, and this has a very special treat. If you're any sort of new to the show, in fact, if you've been new to the show any time in the last 6 months, this is something you haven't heard with a whole lot of content that you haven't heard before. Back in the day, Beards used to do things called Last Week Ons, and he occasionally still does one, but it's really hit and miss, kind of just depending on how much work Beards feels like doing. But at the end of December, for the last week of shows, or at least coming into 2018, Beards put together a Last Year On. So you'll hear a little bit from the very first show that we did here on ESPN Kansas City all the way through the 2017 calendar year. So without further ado, here's Last Year on Almost Entirely Sports.
Oh boy.
What I want to do here is I want to do the best sports talk we can possibly have, and then also have the best possible talk about the fact that, you know, Jerry Jones threw a $16 million Hall of Fame party yesterday. I want the show to be smart and funny. I want it to be calculated and improvised. I have a lot of hopes for what this show is going to be, and I'm hopeful that you will you'll join for the ride.
Previously on Almost Entirely Sports.
I will be here from 4 to 6 every single weekday. Not this week, because Thursday and Friday, there's golf here. Find the station by accident, tell a friend. I'm talent, sir. Unhand me. Mahomes on the red. Kaepernick. I promise we have so much Chiefs stuff coming. Beards is extraordinarily talented. The Chiefs are the Royals, and I'm living in hell.
I think Alex Smith is Mormon, right?
Alex Smith isn't a top 20 Hanson quarterback? I've barely been potty trained for 10 years. Oh, the talking about poop. What a joke. I want national media respect.
There's a computer on fire, I'm pretty sure.
You're right. You should just leave us and go watch NFL Network. That's obviously better than what we're doing.
That's what KU fans do. They expose their nipples for no reason.
Pushing the boundaries of acceptable sluttiness. Because you will accidentally find nudity on the internet. I am an aggressive cuddler in a consensual sense.
Comma, officer.
Let's save baseball. Here's what I want to say. Baseball, everybody does crack.
There's the iceberg. Here we come.
First, we have to get paid.
Here, ducky. My poor virgin ears. 48 minutes of ball torture, man.
Man, the Jets must be good.
Whoa, way too much.
Middle of the week?
Yeah.
Hump day? 21 times Twitter was better than sex. I'm a little concerned for my digestive system later, but you know, that's just Taco Bell, right? Family skinny dipping and risking their lives together? I'm sorry, what were you saying the past 5 minutes or so?
Because I am a terrible listener. Everyone knows that.
Yoshi!
Mama, Dada, Goo Goo, Kaka,
Mwah!
At JD Briscoe with an E.
Play with me! I'm so confused. Why are people trying to buy a couch here? Stop commenting!
Who'd rather have as president? A baby? Or a puppy. Penguins poop every 15 minutes.
Nothing's worse than, like, getting, like, going all in on a Halloween costume, and then, like, if you go to a party or something, people constantly asking
know.
You what you are.
I think slavery was worse.
This is the best hair on the station, this show here.
Not sorry if you hate it.